G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3 here for Ball Don't Lie Australia, episode 133. We're getting up there. This week's show, of course, is brought to you by PCR Maps. If you need help with your Google rankings, PCR Maps is there for you. Now, NBL, Coles Express NBL 1 North Grand Final Series is... have now been wrapped up. Of course, the Wizards were victorious on the women's side of the draw, and in our very first ever NBL 1 North 3-game grand final series, we have the Ipswich Force getting up over the line, and with that we have a player or superstar from each team this week. We've got Courtney Woods joining us from the Northside Wizards, and of course, the man himself, requested by Courtney Woods, Jason Ralph, the mayor of Ipswich, soon to be. We'll Tom Gleason that into existence, for sure. I'm sure that's going to happen. All right, and of course, along the way, we'll also do some local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em with the Ipswich Force cards with the man himself, Jason Ralph. But we'll go ladies first. We'll jump in with Courtney Woods, and for her return leg, almost a year ago to the day, actually, since the last time we had her on. So let's give Courtney a buzz now.
That Ball Don't Lie
never does.
All right, Ball Don't Lie listeners, we have a returning guest to the show, an absolute superstar of a year this returner is having. We've got a WNBL champ, an NBL 1 North MVP, a finals MVP, and of course, 2023 NBL North champion, Courtney Woods. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back.
Not a problem. It seems like a yearly almost tradition. You know, you win the NBL 1 North, we get you on the show, and then we go from there. Look, it's definitely been an interesting 12 months for you. Let's go back a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
WNBL champion. Talk us through. The Hawk knocks down those last two free throws, stretches it out, clock expires. Wow. Yeah. Talk us through that.
Yeah, and that feels like so long ago as well. So that would have only been at the end of March. And it was an incredible season. From the beginning, I think we kind of knew we had a special group, obviously with a lot of talent, and then playing under someone like Shannon, who's just so intelligent and so passionate about what he does. I think we just had a really good recipe, and then we were kind of able to just keep it together, which is hard in a WNBL season. It's 6 months spending every day together, training against each other every single day, and you know, it's pretty easy for teams to kind of fall apart, but we managed to keep it together, stay together, and then we obviously had the addition of Shiloh in the back end of the season, which made us even stronger. And yeah, we ended up winning, I think it was like 16 games, the last 16 games we won, and then, yeah, finished with a championship. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, right. And then, well, look, let's just keep the winning vibes going. But from there, you then came back to the Wizards. Was there ever maybe, I don't know, like the Brisbane Capitals or anyone else, or was it always just going to be the Wizards coming home?
Yeah, I talked to a couple of different clubs. I wasn't entirely sure what I wanted to do and what I kind of wanted the season to look like. Mm-hmm. I talked to Spartans a little bit. They were kind of in the conversation. I considered staying in Townsville, but Northside for me, I played there the season previous, so I already had a lot of relationships there. I liked Wyatt. I'd met with Lyndon a couple of times, and I really liked the group they were putting together. At that time, we were planning on having Tiana as well, which also just feels like was so long ago. And so Tiana was meant to be our point guard, and then we had AJ and Nadine, and it was meant to be a really strong team. So yeah, I kind of just wanted to play with a really good point guard and some good bigs, so eventually that was why I chose Northside.
And there was no hard feelings from Coach Wicks, considering you and the Townsville team basically did the dash on them at Nationals the year before.
Yeah, like that was kind of a funny, kind of full circle moment. Obviously, that would have been against Dwight and Troy, our assistant, and then Nadine, Hainsey, and Lil. So there's actually a fair few of them that we played in that quarterfinal. So it was kind of funny to then be playing on the same team with them only a year later. But yeah, obviously no hard feelings, but it was kind of fun to joke about because that was a tough quarterfinal for Spartans last year.
Yes, definitely. All right. Excuse me. Now, you start the finals by having to put away your old team in Townsville. Were there any extra emotions going into that one, or was it just, right, this is, you guys are in the way?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was a bit odd playing Townsville again. We'd only played them, I think, 2 weeks earlier. So that was a bit odd, but they were without Steph Reed and without Kate Gaze. So I think it would have been really strange to play against Steph, and I was quite lucky I didn't have to play against her this season because it would have just, you know, it's a full body experience playing against Steph Reed. Mm-hmm. But it was cool. Like, it did kind of feel full circle, and it was nice. It's always a nice feeling to beat your old team, but Townsville put up an amazing game against us. Jimmy did a great scout, put together a great game plan, and there were a lot of points in that game against Townsville where I wasn't kind of sure what was going to happen. Like, in at the end of the game, I think we ended up winning by 1 or 2 points, and like, it really could have gone either way. And that's a massive credit to Flames, who had a really young roster at that time. So yeah, they put up a really good game when we played them in the quarters.
Yeah, for sure. And then obviously rolled over the Pirates, and then it's grand finals time, and you got to play against another Fire teammate, in Lara McSpadden. Does that make it easier when you, as you said before, when you're playing, you know, with these teammates, you know, day after day after day? Does that make it easier on the scout, or does it just make it harder knowing what your team has to stop?
Yeah, I think probably a bit of both. Nads and AJ had both played with Spuds as well, so the three of us were pretty like comfortable with our game. We kind of knew what our strengths were, knew what we were kind of trying to keep her out of. But I think especially even in that second game of the grand final, like, we were throwing everything at Spuds, especially in the first half, and she was scoring through double teams. Like, she was getting and-ones after and-ones. So I think at the end of the day, like, you can still know what people are really good at. But when there's players that are as talented as Lara, like, they're still going to score, and you just kind of got to do the best you can. But yeah, she had a great grand final series.
Yeah, she definitely did. Was it last year? That was, last week on the show, that was Anthony's pick, was a Rocky team. sorry, buddy, I'm going to have to go with the Wizards, but that's okay. I took home the chicken bet, so that's a victory there. Now, obviously, winning this year and last year, different feeling, same feeling. What are we talking about? You know, as someone who's never going to win an NBL One North championship at any level, what are those feelings like? And, you know, can you talk us through that moment?
Yeah, I think winning last year for the Townsville Flames, I think that was probably one of the most talented teams I've ever been on, especially even in NBL One. I think having Alana Smith join us, and then me and Murray and Jamie Seabomb, like, our starting five was five WNBL players. So I think anytime you put together a team like that and then have someone like Shannon Seabomb coaching it, you probably should win the championship. And that was kind of like the feeling of it, is that it was incredible to win, obviously, as well, incredible to beat Logan at Logan, but it felt like that's what we should have done. And that was the expectation as soon as we put that group together. And then on the other hand, playing for Northside this year and then obviously not getting Tiana, there was a lot of adversity, a lot of kind of like doubt. And then I think being able to put it together with this group and get everything to click at the right times, it really felt like we fought for it and really earned it and really kind of, you know, knuckled down and had to beat a lot of good teams that theoretically might have had more talent than we did. But we kind of, like, I don't know, it's just like, for this season, it really felt like we just fought really hard for it. And yeah, so it's a different feeling. At the end of the day, championship's a championship, but yeah, they're definitely two incredibly different ones on two very different teams.
Yeah, for sure. And this year, yeah, obviously had the bonus of being able to play it on your home court. So you're able to get some fans in and do a little bit of a fan day and the day after. Is that nice to give back and, you know, get the young ones through? And hey, you never know. You never know who the next Courtney Woods might be.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Northside did a phenomenal job the entire final series of all the marketing and all the publicity, and they put a lot of fans through the door, especially as grand final series. I think the second game we had over 1,000 people there, which is pretty crazy for an NBL One women's game. And for me, the amount of girls that came, the amount of young Northside club rep players, Wiz kids that came, and then how many signatures we did after the game, how many photos we took, like, that was incredible. And it's such like an amazing experience for those girls to be able to watch their role models and their senior team win a championship, because it's just inspiring. And then, yeah, to have the community day the next day was so awesome that people came back and then wanted to meet more of us and talk to us more and say how excited they were and how much the season meant to them. So, yeah, it was really incredible, and a very good job by Northside for putting all that together.
For sure. Now, as you said, you've got finals experience, and so does Coach Wicks, Beck Hain, Dean Payne, and Lil Dart. For those on your team who don't, what advice would you give them as the Wizards look to go that next step at Nationals?
Yeah, I think something we kind of emphasized the entire year is just trying to have fun with it. And it's just basketball. It's not that serious. Especially Dwight's really done a great job of just emphasizing that, you know, we're trying to play loose, we're trying to play fast, and trying not to get too upset and down at times. So I think just treating it like any other basketball game and trying to like make the most of it, enjoy your time on the court and work as hard as you can, and try not to get too caught up in all the and kind of like the national side of it, or even like the grand final. I think just treating it like any other game.
Nice. All right. So did you see the ridiculous 3-point as the shot clock expiring shot that Sammy Whitcomb put up just the other day for Seattle?
Yeah, it was like a chest pass, right?
Yeah, just clock's expiring. Oh, there's the ring. Lob it up.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah. Does that just make you just absolutely froth the upcoming WNBL season?
Yeah, I think not even just how talented Sammy is as a basketball player, but I think just having her leadership and just someone with the experience that she's had, not only within the WNBL, but internationally in the WNBA, I think it'll just be incredible to spend time with someone like that and then be able to train against them every day. So, yeah, I'm really excited to meet Sammy and then get to play with her and against her.
Yeah, look, I've seen the Fire website and, yeah, I'm really liking the look of the team. It looks good. Looks like, you know, good chunk of players coming back. And, hey, keep that championship up in Queensland, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's the plan. And Shannon's done a really good job of, like you said, kind of getting a mixture of returners and some new talent. And I think being able to add Sammy Whitcomb and Alice Kunick to an already kind of championship team is pretty incredible. So the plan's to be even better than last year. So hopefully that adds another championship to Townsville Fire's trophy room.
All right, well, returning to Townsville Fire, does that mean we're going to get another season of Into the Fire podcast?
Yeah, we actually are. So they've kind of started the process again. Haven't really knocked out any of the details, but, yeah, that is definitely the plan, to kick the podcast back up once I get up there, which is really exciting and really awesome for Hit and Triple M to be putting that together up in Townsville.
Nice. And for those of our listeners who aren't across it, what's the premise, and where can they find it?
Yeah, so you can find it on the Listener app. I think you just search Into the Fire podcast and it should come up. And basically, it's me and my co-host Jacob, and we just have a different player on each week, and kind of just getting a bit more into like the ins and outs of a WNBL season. And it's kind of cool. Just obviously the first episode's the very beginning of the season, and the last episode was after the grand final. So just to kind of check in with all the players throughout the entire season, in preseason, midseason, finals, all that good stuff. So yeah, it's a really good way to kind of keep up with the team.
Awesome. All right, I do have two last questions.
Yeah.
Before we get you to go. Now it is your second time returning to the show. Yeah. I'm just gonna hit you with one question from our Fast Five, a slightly tweaked. So can you give me who would be your five most talented players you've played with?
Played with? Wow, okay. Like, do you want it kind of in like position wise?
Oh, However you like. However you like. However you feel. It's your list, your rules.
Okay, I can think positions. Okay, with 5-1 players. Okay, point guard. I would go Steph Reed. Mm-hmm. This is probably going to literally be the starting five for the five. Mixed it up a little bit for you. The two guard, I'd go Lauren Nicholson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Who's just won Defensive Player of the Year, I believe, down.
Absolutely south. Awesome.
Yep.
The three, I'm trying to even think who else I've played with. I've been on the same teams over and over. Probably Carly Samuelson. I've never, if you've ever seen Carly play, you're probably aware that she just doesn't miss. So she was super fun to guard the entire Townsville season. So she'd be my three. Four, I'd go Tiana Hawkins. Five, I'd go Zatina Kuso. That would be my five.
Nice. Solid five. Solid five.
Yeah, good five there. Probably win a couple of games with that five.
All right. Oh, one more sneaky question. Any chance of I've got to ask this. I'm contractually obligated to ask. Any chance of a capital signing for next year?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I talked to Dean a little bit last year. I'm not really sure what I'm going to be doing. But yeah, I think I'll probably be returning somewhere in the north. So yeah, I guess there's always a chance. It's pretty early days. What are we in, August?
Hey, most people laugh and say no straight off the bat. So that's fine. Happy with that. The door is slightly ajar. That is totally okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. And final question. Who should we have on the show next?
Oh, fascinating. Have you had Jason Ralph on yet?
Funnily enough, I'm going to have him on this evening.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say, definitely have him on.
Yep. Definitely will. Definitely will. He's actually the second guest as part of this episode.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. No, Ipswich boy through and through.
For sure. All right. Courtney Woods, thank you very much for being on the show. That's going to wrap us up. Congratulations on an amazing year, and it's August.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. Thank you for having me.
No worries at all.
Ball don't lie. That ball don't lie.
Huge thank you to Courtney Woods there for coming on and joining us once again. Always a pleasure having you on, Courtney, and thank you again for your time. Well, speaking of time, let's not waste it. As requested by Courtney, let's get Jason Ralph on. Let's get him on. Let's get him on. Let's give him a buzz.
I tell you what doesn't lie, the ball. Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie, listeners. I have the man himself, requested earlier in the episode by one Courtney Woods, the captain of the NBL North winning championship team, the Ipswich Force, Jason Ralph. Mate, how you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Not a drama at all, mate. Look, big couple of days, obviously, but let's jump in a little time machine. Now, most people are probably going to know the answer to this, but it's traditional when we get new players on the show to ask them where they played their junior ball, and more traditionally, who are those sort of names that really helped you out in those junior days.
Yeah, I played my junior days all at Ipswich, actually. So it's kind of a surreal feeling still playing there. I've only ever played at one association, and it's all been at Ipswich. Very grateful for that. But yeah, my junior days, coaches and things like that all through my junior career, Terry Lindenberg was a big part of my early junior success, if you want to call it that. Uh-huh. But obviously, through my later in under 16s and under 18s, when I was involved in state programs and things like that, I had plenty of good state coaches, and Joel Carlu was a big success when I went on into the under 20 system and thing like that. But all through my junior years at Ipswich, Terry Lindenberg was a massive part of my junior career.
Yeah, and it's as I said, it's most people in NBL One North know the answer to the question, but it's those people that help along the way that it's always nice to look back and just give them that little head nod as we move forward. Yeah. Sure. Now, obviously, moving forward, now, am I right in saying that it's been 13 years at the top in either NBL 1 or State League?
Yeah, it's my 13th year in the league. It's been a great ride so far. But it's gone pretty quick, to be honest.
Yep, always feels like that way, I'm sure. Now, this season, obviously, after the last couple of seasons, Ipswich brought in some talent, but they were also able to do that that difficult thing of keeping some familiar faces. Obviously, as you know, it's been 13 years, and this year Ipswich got up for the first time at this level. How incredibly difficult is that balancing act to do of bringing in the talent, keeping those core guys, and keeping everyone on the ship together?
Yeah, it's like extremely difficult, and that's why it's so special when you win one. Everyone that has won one, and particularly the past couple of years, how the competition is just getting stronger and stronger each year. So it's getting more difficult to not just win one, but to get it right. With the points cap in the NBL one, and then, bringing in restricted guys, unrestricted guys, and then your local level talent. It's hard to find the mixture, and we definitely got that right this year, not just because we won, but, we had a successful year, and that was, credit to Chris and, our management committee for really, laying that groundwork and getting it right, because it's not easy. The easy part's kind of going out there and playing, I guess. It's the hard part is all done in the preseason with recruiting these type of players.
Yeah, well, obviously had a bit of hype coming into the season, but it doesn't always work out in that sense. But as we're looking through the regular season, you guys had some fairly tight results. There was no major sort of really huge blowout wins, which is a testament to the NBL One North and, as I say, how it keeps building. The fact that you had to fight through some of those wins, how did that really galvanize your locker room?
Yeah, well, we were pretty inconsistent, to be honest, in the regular season. I felt that we took a bit to get going. We had a pretty good start. Yeah. I think, we started 6-0 on the season. And then our first loss came to Southwest, and we kind of regrouped, and then we had a couple of injuries, and then I think we were maybe 6-0, then we were like maybe even 7-3, 7-4 type thing. And then we went on the road for a bit, and Rocky and Mackay finally got our full squad together for the first time in the whole year. And then we had a really good patch. And then we kind of found a little bit of consistency about the end of the year. And then we just really kind of wanted the playoffs to start. And you saw that we played our best basketball when when it really mattered in the playoffs. So it was hard to find to be consistent. And that probably wasn't our best thing in the season, I'll tell you that.
Well, speaking of the playoffs, I do have to ask, that game against Logan in the semifinals, Logan got out to that quite a good start. At halftime, did you guys have some like Space Jam style Michael Jordan secret stuff? Because that third quarter was unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was. We didn't really know what to, like, we knew Logan was going to be a powerhouse at the start of the season, and we knew that we would have had to beat them at some stage in the playoffs to win, if it was the quarterfinal, semifinal, grand final, wherever it was. So we knew we had to go through them, and God, they came out and they killed it in the first half. I think they put on, 50 points in the first half. And we couldn't find the bottom of the net, unfortunately. So we actually found ourselves down 15 at the half. And we're pretty comfortable with that, to be honest. We all said in the locker room, fellas, we're down 15 and played our worst half of basketball all year. Yeah. So we knew that we had something in us to come out, and our third quarter we came out and we played the best basketball we have, best 10 minutes of the season right there to that, like to that date. So when we came out and you know, did that in the third quarter, I think we definitely turned some heads. So we're down 15 at halftime, and I think we ended started the fourth and we're up four. So that was a kind of crazy feeling, because to do that on their home floor was pretty special.
Yeah, for sure. It was so good that I actually got a couple of messages around it, just asking what the hell has happened. It's like, well, these guys are incredibly capable. So
yeah,
you know. And then of course we roll into game one, and look, I was there for that one. It was tight. Felt like you guys started the third. End of the third, start of the fourth. You were just not quite there, but you were within touch. Especially that when Sobey started to get a little bit warmer toward the end of that third quarter, it felt like you guys were just you could almost make it happen. And then it just didn't work out, but it did. It did set up the greatest finals comeback in NBL One North history. So that was a win. But what was your take on that first game?
Yeah, the first game, I actually had a really good chat to Ben Wilson about this, after game one, in between game one and two. And, like, we were just pretty honest to each other. Like, I personally was awful. I was a step slow on everything. And that's easy to say that now, but because we've won the whole thing, but we all kind of had a bit of a reality check in the locker room, and not many words from the coaching staff after game one. It was pretty much all the players that spoke after game one and just said that we need to be better. And we came out and we definitely showed that in game two and three, but we all knew that we didn't guard well in the first game. Offensively, we weren't being, we were all being selfish and trying to be the guy to get us out of that kind of slump we were going through. So we kind of turned the page pretty quick and looked forward to game two, because our goal at the beginning of the series was to win two games this weekend. And after the game on Friday night, we were down 1-0, and our goal was still to win two games. Nothing kind of changed. So it was just that I don't think we came out with the right intent, and we definitely didn't game two and three.
Yeah, well, speaking of game two, it's that classic now or maybe never. Up until that point, NBL One North had never seen a game three in a grand final series. So, but my question is kind of around Sobey. Did you get the feeling coming into that game that, you know, he was gonna, like, did he feel any different with that 39 points that he ended up with? Did he come in feeling it different, or was it just that everyone had sort of shaken off that first game and just a sharper intent on what had to be done?
Yeah, like I wouldn't say that, you know, his preparation or anything like that was different. He's a pro. He's done it many times before. I think that his leadership is fantastic, and he led from the front as well this weekend. And when he's talking in the locker room, everyone's locked in. And if he's ready to go, like he was on Saturday night, everyone kind of followed. So he was the guy that got us over the line on the weekend on Saturday night. But if he got going, we knew everyone else was going to get going. So it definitely opens up the floor when, you know, he's penetrating, finishing around the rim, and also, you know, obviously shooting the three really well. So, I wouldn't say that his mind frame or whatever changed or anything like that. We were just all off on Friday night, and it clicked on Saturday.
Yeah, it definitely did. And then again, on Sunday. Obviously, Dang Dang from range, wowzers. And, of course, the highlight for me was it you falling away to your right, that flick? Absolute.
Yeah.
There's two ways to look at it. It was either a pinpoint pass or a wildly missed shot. I'm sure it was the first. I'm sure it was the first. Yeah. And then, obviously, Dang Dang just going upstairs. And he obviously was just absolutely feeling it, knocking him down from range. And then just giving a little bit of extra love to that Gold Coast crowd. Absolutely fantastic to see. And obviously, you know, you guys came away with the win. In those sort of moments, in that special, you know, in that big moment there, obviously there's a lot of emotions for everybody and nobody's quite sure. Nobody always necessarily puts the best words in it in the moment. But now that you've had a couple of days to look back, how amazing was that game and what did it mean to you?
Well, yeah, it was kind of just an unreal feeling that, you know, that basketball kind of brings, I guess. Like, spoken to a lot of people over the last 48 hours and not just people from, you know, in the competition and in the NBL One North, but a lot of people that, you know, my college teammates, my, you know, people, the juniors at Ipswich Basketball, my colleagues at work and just everyone that has kind of followed the season. And it kind of just all came to an end on Sunday and it was like, holy, like we've actually done it. So to be on the floor with, I'm sure it was nearly bloody half of Ipswich, because there were so many. We had such a great following down there, but yeah, it was just amazing. I've won state championships as a junior and things like that, but to win something like this on the defending champs' home court in a game three decider when their team is just, you know, absolutely unreal as well. Yeah, it was very special, and to do it for my junior association, as we touched on at the start, it just makes it, that's just the icing on the cake, really.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, looking ahead, nationals. Mm-hmm. I believe you've got Rockingham Flames straight up. Have any chance to have a look at the scout yet, or is that still in celebration mode? You know, about to wind down and then really focus in on the nationals job to be done.
Yeah, not looking too far ahead, really. Trying to, you know, celebrate this, you know, accomplishment first. You know, like it's, you know, at the start of the year we spoke about one thing and one thing only, and it was a championship, and that championship's NBL One North. So nationals weren't really spoken about, to be honest. There was one thing to speak about, and that was to, you know, win this, and we've done that. So we're going to celebrate this for a bit, and, you know, we'll look at nationals preparation next week, you know, because I don't know what it will look like, who we'll have. It's a bit too early to tell, so I don't know if we'll have the full squad and what that will look like. But, yeah, so that's why we kind of just need to enjoy this and spend time with each other, and hopefully this weekend we can get together and really start to enjoy ourselves.
Look out Ipswich. Yeah, for sure. All right, mate. As we talked about earlier, off air, we have a little bit of a connection to your one of your sponsors over at Ipswich Force, the guys who created the Ipswich Force cards. Local card shop of Woolloongabba and Mermaid Beach are actually sponsors of the show, and we do a little bit of crack'em. So since you're the captain of the team, surely you know everybody and you know where they're from and all that kind of stuff. You're ready to jump in the hot seat and really put that knowledge to test.
No pressure.
So I've got what have we got here? We've got what have we got? Nine Ipswich cards. We'll go through them fairly quick. Actually, I will take yours out of the pack. Let's make it eight. It's a lovely card, though, I must say. All right, first one. I'll just give some, for those who haven't played Kraken before, normally I read the spiel on the back without without saying the player's name. A little bit less spiel, but there is some details and other things on there that's really interesting as well. So let's go first card off the rank. It's a forward, born in 1990. Height, according to the card, of 203 centimeters.
Matt Hodgson.
Ooh. Birthplace was Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh, no, it's not.
1990.
10th of the 7th, 1990.
And it's the Ipswich player?
Ipswich player.
You've got two of them. There's two of these particular players with this particular last name on the team.
A Galloway. No, that birthday's wrong. Galloway, killing me.
there might be some errors. There might be some errors, but we'll work through that. There we go. Okay. So first one's Kyron Galloway.
Fantastic.
All good. Okay, next one. Ooh. Okay, well, 1990. Here we go again. 190 centimetres with the birthplace of Warrnambool in Victoria. A guard.
Yep, Sobes.
Sobes for sure. Yep. Nailed that one. All right. Date of birth, 1991. 203 centimetres is the listed height. And the birthplace of South Sudan. Forward. A Tam-a-Tam.
Or a Tam-a-Tam. Okay.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Oh, Gold Coast boy, 1999.
The one and only Cameron Goldfinch.
The Goldfinch, yes. Nailed it. 1997 in Cairns, listed at 190.
Denzel Kennedy,
indeed. All right, now I will tell you straight up right now, the height for this player is incorrect, but I'm sure you'll get it.
And I already know who that is. That is Michael Fleming.
Yeah, that height is just not quite, is it? But listed at 198, and that is NBA inflated numbers for sure on that
one. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Guard, born in 2002, height of 197 centimetres, born in Townsville.
Maybe I want to say that – oh, is it Jalen?
Yes, it's Jalen.
It is Jalen Galloway.
Galloway. All right, I've got one more Ipswich Force card. Born 15th of the 2nd, 1995, at a height of 175 centimetres. Birthplace, Townsville, Queensland. Listed as a guard. Number 7.
I'm
the women's team.
Oh, that's my wife. Of course. I'm trying to think. I was like, oh, no way. But yeah, that is my wife, Georgia.
Yep. Not trying to do a stitch up. Just checking.
I better get that one right.
Indeed. All right, mate. If you got a little bit of time, I would love to hit you with our fast five. Just basketball style questions. And they start off easy. We always say that. The first one's always the trickiest.
Yeah, great.
All right, mate. Can you give me your top five players of all time?
All time. I'm a Laker fan. So Kobe Bryant, LeBron, Shaq, Steph Curry, and MJ.
Nice. That's going to be a solid one to – solid one. Easy to defend. All right. Our favorite playing number and why?
Number 4. Always been number 4. And because I got thrown that because I started at such a young age. And
The small jersey.
It was the smallest jersey.
Yep. That's why I had number 13 for so long. All righty. Favorite movie.
I hate movies. I never finish them. I would go the cliche basketball movie, greatest basketball movie of all time is Coach Carter.
Agreed. Agreed. It's pretty good. I like it. All right. Now, obviously, you know, the Ipswich Force, you know, blowing up. Everyone's tuning in to, you know, to watch this. And the Jason Ralph story, it's, you know, it's going global and Hollywood comes a calling. Who plays Jason Ralph in the Jason Ralph movie?
Oh, I've been asked this question before and I have no idea. I have no idea. I because I don't watch movies, yeah, I'm not good at this.
No. All good. Well, just so play yourself.
I could. I'll throw the question back to you. Who do you think that could play me?
Oh, could play you. I thought you were going to throw it back at who could play me. And I was like, well, there's two, John Candy or Denzel Washington, I think are the two. They'd be probably the most two ridiculous answers. Let's steer into it and go with something like, you know, a Ryan Gosling or a,
yeah, love it,
you know, or a Rock, you know, something that's, it, yep, just makes sense, you know, just,
yeah,
makes
I could
sense.
See the, I could see the Rock, yep, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I have had that answer multiple times too, so don't. favorite kicks of all time, favorite basketball shoes of all time?
Probably like the Kobe 5s.
Yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Well loved shoe, that one. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, possibly the trickiest question, but it's always gives interesting answers. If you could go back in time to watch any game in the history of basketball as a spectator, what game would you go back and watch? Can be from your own personal history, can be an NBA, NBL, whatever level. What game would you want to go back and watch as a spectator?
I watched it live actually, not on TV, but I would have loved to be there. It was game 7 in 2010 when the Lakers beat the Celtics for the championship.
Oof. Okay. Yeah. I would have loved to have been there 2 years early in 2008. I'm a big C's fan.
You're a Celtics fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I was yelling at the screen for Doc Rivers to get away from ISO ball in the last 3 minutes there. But classic Doc, you know, we don't make changes. You know, we set things for 5 minutes and then we let them run. And I get it. It was a good game. It was, it just wasn't my outcome, but the game itself was brilliant. So I totally get that. I totally get that.
We'll remember that forever. That was unreal.
For very different reasons, yes. All right, mate. Final question. Who should we have on Ball Don't Lie Australia next?
Oh, I can't believe Courtney Woods said me. I'll have to reach out to her. Thanks for that, Woodsy. Appreciate it. Oh, God, tricky one. Are we looking for NBL 1 champs or?
Oh, look, literally any love you want to give, we're happy to. We've had all sorts of answers over the time. We've had, you know, from Patty Mills with no connections to Patty Mills, just get him on. It's like, yeah, I will do my best. But but literally anyone you think would enjoy their time and, you know, have something to share.
Yeah, I would say that let's get a Boomer on that is going to be in the Boomers team before the World Cup. That would be pretty sick. So maybe even like a Patty or, you know, maybe even a Josh Giddey, someone like that.
All right, mate. Well, the second part is if you can reach out and tee that up, that would be great. I'll sit by the phone waiting for that hookup. That sounds great.
No, awesome. Easy.
All right, mate. Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much for doing our local card shop, Crack'em, and congratulations.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Not at all.
Ball Don't Lie.
Huge thank you once again to Jason Ralph for joining us on the show. And don't worry, if you have one of those Ipswich Force cards that does have a cheeky error on it, error cards are always worth more in the long run anyway, so don't stress it. Be worth way more down the line. All right, that's going to bring the show to a wrap. So huge thank you to PCR Maps. Huge thank you to local card shop of Woolloongabba and Mermaid Beach. If you are on the socials, please do give us those likes, those followers, those shares, all those sorts of things. Get on there. We're trying to do more and more all the time. Please do also, if you are able to, give us those 5-star reviews on streaming services that allow it. That stuff really does help. But until you're listening to us again, main thing to remember is that ball don't lie.